Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's go there. Just as a recap. Today is part 2. We are going to be 4 parts to this message. Today is part 2 of the message that we started last week. Deliverance from strongholds. Today is part 2. Last week we looked at the strongholds of the flesh. And today we'll be looking at overcoming the strongholds of the flesh. And then the remaining 2 parts will be looking at strongholds of the spirit and overcoming the strongholds of the spirit. Amen. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Just like a refresher on what we read last week. Sean, get the mic. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to read verse 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to read verse 3 to 5. Please follow in your Bible. Of course, as you know me, I'm going to go around in terms of Bible reading or questions. That's the way I operate. That's the way I teach. I found it to be very effective. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. Please read.
We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do.
We don't wage war as humans do. It's not about how much you shout. It's not about how much you throw your hands. Yeah? It's not about how much you manipulate. It's not about how much you give a false impression. That is not how you're going to overcome the warfare in your life. You may please yourself, but you're not going to overcome that way. Continue, please.
We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy...
The strongholds of human reasonings, yes.
And to destroy false arguments.
False arguments, yes.
We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God.
What are those proud obstacles that keep people from knowing God? They are strongholds in the mind. Amen? They are reasonings. They are arguments. They are mentalities. Wrong mentalities, wrong attitudes. Yeah? Wrong ways of thinking lead to wrong ways of doing things. The battlefield is where? In the mind. That's where the stronghold is. That's where the stronghold of the flesh is. And it affects the body. Okay? And like we said last week, as a refresher, when Satan wants to gain a doorway into your life, he has to come through your mind or your body. Amen? The devil cannot touch your spirit until he has first come through your mind or your body or both of them. Amen? The devil cannot. I've told you before, I said, the devil is powerful, but he's not all powerful. Amen? God is almighty. Hallelujah. He's what? Almighty. But the devil is mighty, but not what? Almighty. You know why? He's a created being. I told you, if the devil was almighty, he will have wiped up this world by now. He will stir up all the oceans and sink everybody. That's how evil he is. But he cannot. His operation is still within boundaries. Amen? If it was not within boundaries, he would have done it. Is that evil? But he cannot. Even the devil has to operate within what? Boundaries that the Lord set. Amen? And that's why you can keep the devil off your life if you understand the boundaries. Amen? If you understand the boundaries, you can. And so the strongholds of the flesh have to do with your mind and body. And if you can keep your mind and body under the control of the Holy Spirit, you can keep the devil out of your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory to God. So that's the foundation there. So my first question is this. I meant to do this last week, but I didn't have time. What is God's will for a believer regarding any strongholds that hold them bound? It's a simple question. Yeah? Different people, different things hold different people bound. Some people is their habits, different habits. Some people is their attitude. If last week we look at different works of the flesh that can be stronghold. We even said like eating can be stronghold. When eating becomes a stronghold, it's called gluttony. Amen? Yeah? Hallelujah? Yeah? Anything can become what? Even something legitimate can be a stronghold. Not talk of something that is not what? Legitimate. So, but what is God's will for the believer regarding any strongholds that holds them bound? What's God's will? It's simple. Let's take some answers. And yes? What's God's will for you regarding strongholds? Go on. To be free. God's will for you as a believer is to be free from what? From sin. I like it. Thank you. It's a good one. I like it. You know, I usually see people talk about freedom, 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 freedom. I say many people, they don't understand freedom. Think about it. You know, have you ever driven on a motorway or been driven on a motorway? I'm talking about a big fat motorway, like M6. Have you been there? M6, when you're traveling to Liverpool from the south. Yeah? I remember when I used to drive to Liverpool to visit my sister. Amen? I'm sure you remember. You drive to Liverpool. And when I first saw that motorway, I was afraid. Anyway, just told me, was like I was in Germany or America. Hallelujah. And you just, you know, it feels very free. But what matters is that there's no freedom without control. You know, imagine anybody just drove anyhow on M6. As you're going forward, somebody is coming. It's free, isn't it? It's not freedom. Somebody's coming the other way at 90 miles per hour. There's no freedom. Okay? There's no freedom without control. Amen? You know, growing up in Africa, you know, we used to see like, oh, Western nations are just very organized and, you know, there's freedom, there's human rights, and there are human rights, yeah? Although somebody said, you know, anyway, I won't go there. Coming here, I found out that there's so many laws to keep and they enforce it. It's where I came from. People can break the law and find a way. They always find a way. It's a major problem. When you can find a way around the law, yeah, you can be sure that there will be no development. Amen? And one way or the other, each of us that grew up in Africa, we have been part of it. That is, we contributed to the problem. Amen? I can never say that I'm 100% sure that I've not found a way. If I didn't, maybe somebody did it for me. Eh? So when you are praying, remember to repent of that. Hallelujah. Don't just say, oh Lord, help them. Help us. I was part of it. Lord, forgive me. Amen. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about all of us. Amen. So, there is no freedom. True freedom. You cannot enjoy freedom. Without what? Without control. The control guarantees the freedom. Amen? Amen? Freedom is good, it's important. But some basic control, we guarantee it. Remove all controls. What will you get? Chaos. Who said chaos? Chaos, that's the word. I don't have any better word. It's called chaos. Amen. The same thing with the Spirit. Amen? The same thing with the Spirit. God's perfect will for you is that you'll be free from sin. That's why Jesus died. Amen? You know why? Because sin owes you bound. Another one. What's God's perfect will for the believer regarding strong goals? I have many questions, so just one or two answers here. I thought you had some. You said something before. Yes? For us to be what? To be delivered, to be set free. The one I like is in 1 Corinthians 6. He said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are needful. All things are permissible, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, I know if you just read that, you may not understand it. Thank God for the gift of teaching. What it means, it doesn't mean that, for example, it's lawful for me to lie. Is it right for me to lie? No. What he's saying is that I can argue myself out, yeah, and find a good reason why what I'm doing is not too bad. But that thing I'm doing, no matter how much I argue it, that it's not too bad, it can hurt me, it can destroy me. Amen? It can hold me bound. And Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of what? Anything, including food. Amen? Hallelujah. Say to yourself, I refuse to be brought under the power of anything except God and His Word and His Spirit. Amen? That guarantees your freedom. Amen? Amen? That guarantees your freedom. If you want true freedom, the only guarantee is God and His Word and His what? His Spirit. Any other thing will hold you bound. Any other thing that you are brought under His power. Yeah? And He controls you, it will hold you bound. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's move on because of time. Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. This is a popular one. And I want to break it down a bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Let's have another reader. This time, a lady or a girl. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Yes, I need a volunteer. So I'm looking. Yes, thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Can you just put that on? Put it on. Okay, go for it again.
2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ.
If any man. Another version says anyone. Amen? Be in Christ. Go on.
He is a new creation.
He is what?
A new creation.
Yes.
All things are passed away.
Yes.
Behold, all things are become new.
Amen. Don't you love that? That sounds like freedom, doesn't it? Glory to God. Let me just explain something to you. You see, when God created the world, as recorded in the book of Genesis, we know the story. He created the land and the seas and the sun and the stars and the animals. Yeah, he just commanded them to be. In man, he didn't just command man to be. That was it. God formed man from the dust. Yeah? But if that's all God did, man would be equal to an animal. But Bible says God breathed into what? His nostrils. What? The breath of life. And then it became a living soul. You are not just an animal. Hallelujah. You are a spirit. You see, the part of you that God made his own image and his likeness is what? Spirit. Because God is his father of spirits. Hallelujah. But that's not what I'm trying to teach you. What I'm trying to teach you is that God never created another spirit. God created only one spirit. And that spirit is what? Adam. That's why, you know the name of Adam? Adam means mankind. In the seed is a tree. A seed. Inside a seed is a forest. Hallelujah. Inside Adam was the old generation. Amen. Now, growing up, I used to think that, well, when a baby is formed, then God sends a spirit from heaven. Hallelujah. No. Your spirit is multiplied from your father. Your body is provided by your mother. Hallelujah. From one spirit. That's why he was able to take Eve out of Adam. He multiplied the spirit of Eve from Adam. The only time God made any other spirit, yeah, is when Jesus came to the world. He didn't make him anyway. You okay? That's why Jesus could not have an earthly father. He would have inherited his spirit. Are you with me? The sinful nature he will have inherited from Adam. He could not have an earthly father. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is begotten, not made. Hallelujah. He is the Son of God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit infused the Word into the womb of Mary, the Virgin. Hallelujah. And the Word became flesh. But, after Jesus rose from the dead, God started making new spirits. He said, if anyone be in Christ, what is it? It's a new creation. Hallelujah. That's what it means to be born again. When you are born again, yeah, God recreates your spirit. So that he now gives you a spirit, yeah, that is not the one you inherited from Adam. Hallelujah. But he doesn't give you a new mind. And he doesn't give you what? A new body. You know that. I know that. Hallelujah. If you're 5'11" before you got born again, it's very likely that you what, still remain what? 5'11" when you're, except you are 10 years old and you're still growing. Hallelujah. It doesn't give you a new mind, it doesn't give you a new body, but it gives you what? A new spirit. In your spirit, the old has what? Passed away. Hallelujah. And in all things have become what? New. Now you have become a child of God. You have now been welcomed into the family of God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. Hallelujah. That's what it means to be a new creation. But it's all in your spirit. But you still have to deal with your mind and your body. If all you did was to get born again and you did nothing about your mind and body, yeah, you will never, never, never live victoriously as a believer in this world. If you are going to give in to everything your mind says, you will sin every moment. Amen? Because have you ever seen funny thoughts coming to your mind when you didn't want it? Yeah? And the mind is just doing what it does. Amen? The fact that you are a pastor for 20 years does not mean you cannot be tempted again. If you don't want to be tempted, the only person that cannot be tempted in this world is a dead man. Amen? And that's why if you want to overcome sin, the Bible says that we are to die with Christ. You do it by faith. Amen? You die with Christ so that you now live his life. Amen? When you are still living the life of the flesh, pursuing the things of the flesh and the desires of the flesh and the things that people want, you know, the achievement, the possession, the recognition, the pleasure, the enjoyment, yeah? You will struggle to do the will of God. Because the flesh never wants to do the will of God. That's why you have to let your spirit, that born again part of you, begin to dominate your flesh. The flesh is to be dominated by the spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Say it as I say, mind and body under control. Amen. Now, let me just, I need to say something here. So, but again, if you are struggling with things going on in your mind and your body, the devil will come to you and tell you, hey, look at what you did yesterday or what you taught yesterday. You are not born again. It's not true. It's not true. Hallelujah. It's not true. Because the moment you capitulate and say, yes, I'm not a child of God, the devil will come and sit. Yeah? On your neck. You'll be carrying him about. You know what I mean? On your shoulders. No. You are born again in your spirit. But you need to do something about your soul and your body. God has a plan to save your soul. And God has a plan to save what? Your body. We'll look at that plan today. The plan of God is to save both your spirit and what? And your soul and your body. But you have a role to play in that plan. You will never get to that point if you don't cooperate with God in this journey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The whole of history is about how man cooperates with God. The whole of history is about how man cooperates with what? God. When I say man, I mean mankind. Okay? I don't mean male. I mean mankind. Now, you can understand why the Bible uses man. Because both male and female came from Adam. In spirit. In spirit. But God formed the female body. Amen? That's why God keeps saying man. It's one spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time. Now look at, open to Galatians chapter 5. I want to deal with the strongest of the flesh, then I will show us how to overcome it. Well, you see, if you shy away from discussing it, the devil will have the upper hand. One thing I found out in my, you know, experience, that personal experience is that anytime the devil can hide, he can operate better. Hello? If the devil or demons can hide and nobody's aware, they operate maximally. The moment they are located, yeah, they are in trouble. Amen? Hallelujah. Galatians 5:19. I just read 19 to 21. Someone who has not read today. Galatians 5:19-21. I'm going to that corner. I'm looking for someone in this last row. This corner. This corner now. Yes, this corner. Galatians 5:19-21. Who is it going to be? Yeah, okay, fine. There you go. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 19 to 21. Please follow in your Bible and then we'll get a question. It's going to be a very hot question. Yes?
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness,
lasciviousness.
Lasciviousness.
It means being full of lust. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of thee which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time
past. Now listen to this.
That they which do such things,
those who practice
shall
this
not,
way of life,
shall not inherit the kingdom of
shall
God.
Shall not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. You know, I'm not on a mission to rewrite the Bible. Amen. I'm on the mission to preach and teach what? The Bible. Let me understand. Before we break down these things, I want to understand. The Bible says those who practice such things. Now, I've explained. There's a difference between falling into sin and living in sin. Amen. You see, you're a believer. You could trip and do something wrong. You fell. You didn't want to. Or maybe you were tempted. And the Bible says that when we fall into sin, what are we to do? 1 John 1:9. You need to master. You will never overcome the devil if you don't master 1 John 1:9. You will never defeat the devil if you don't master 1 John 1:9. You know why? One of the titles of the devil is the accuser of what? The brethren. So you can never overcome the accuser of the brethren until you know 1 John 1:9. That says that if we say we have no sin, what are we doing? You are deceiving yourself. But if you confess your sin, what is God going to do? He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So when a believer falls into sin, they are not supposed to run from God. Go on to God. I messed up. In fact, I'm so ashamed. And I ask that you forgive me. Then when you have done that, receive that forgiveness by faith. Don't go back and say, oh, maybe he has not forgiven me. If he doesn't forgive you, he's no longer faithful and what? And just. If you can master that, you're on your way to overcoming the devil. Amen? However, falling into sin is different from living in sin. When you live in sin, you are repeating that thing without remorse. Yeah? Or you think you are repenting, but actually, you are enjoying living in that word, sin. In fact, the only repentance you are doing is so that nobody will catch you. Are you with me? You are practicing unrighteousness. The Bible says, those who practice will not. I didn't write it. Amen? If we are living in sin, it can destroy our salvation. This is in the Bible. But if we fall into sin, we can repent. And the person that is living in sin, too, what do they need to do? What do they need to do? They need to repent. And stop living in what? Sin. Do you see what I mean? It's very simple. Praise the Lord. So let's look at the first on that list, because sometimes I feel like I'm not taught it well enough. I think I will skip some things. I wanted to explain that when the Bible says the flesh, it's talking about the sinful nature. Now you know that though you are born again, you still have a sinful nature. Did you know that? That sinful nature is exercising your mind and in your body, not in your spirit. Amen? It's in your mind. And where? In your body. So if you are going to be free from sin, like Brother Gideon said, Brother Gideon, he's talking about being free from sin. Amen? You are going to have to do something with what? Your mind and your body. You will never overcome sin by just praying to God and say, God, deliver me from sin. If you do that, you are putting all the responsibility to God. You have to do something with your mind and with what? Your body. And if you ask me, actually, you have to do something with your mind. Because your mind controls your body. Amen? And so, if you keep feeding your mind with junk, if you like fast for 10 years, you will not overcome. Until you change what you are feeding your mind, you will not have the strength to overcome the flesh. I'm talking about the flesh. I'm not talking about evil spirits yet. I'll talk about that next week. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, the flesh is mind and body without control. The flesh, the sinful nature is what? Mind and body without control. That will lead to wrong thoughts, wrong attitudes, wrong habits. I shared something in Overflow one day. I said some people, no matter how much money you give them, they will remain poor. I had someone like, shout. I said, why? You know why? One of the contributors of poverty is a wrong attitude. Some people have a poverty attitude. They are chronically lazy. That's a poverty attitude. If you are chronically lazy, it's a stronghold of the flesh. It will lead to poverty. Proverbs says it. He said, yet a little sleep, a little folding of the hand to relax. And what we have? He said, poverty will come. Praise the Lord. That's an attitude that can be a stronghold of the flesh. That's not all. That's not all there is to poverty. I'm just saying that's what. Some people, they are very foolish financially. You understand? They work. You know, there are people. Have you ever seen someone that they work hard and they get money, but the money doesn't last at all? You can't see any sign of it. You know, some things are curses. Yeah, we talk about strongest of spirit next week and how to be delivered. Imagine somebody who was earns his money and then go and gambles. He gambles half of the salary, and the other salary he just gives it to friends that are far away. He doesn't want to pay his bill or his rent. You see what I say? It's a stronghold. So even if you give them £1 billion, what are they going to do? They'll give them 2 years. They are back in poverty. May the Lord deliver us from every stronghold of poverty and lack in Jesus' name. Don't even know why I went there. It's for someone. Before we go into this definition, so one of the reasons why we had to be beware of the works of the flesh is that, so we listed them, they provide a foothold for the devil. You see, to any work of the flesh, Satan can. Satan doesn't have any authority in your life if you are born again. Hello? Are you with me? The Bible says that we are dead and our lives, spirit, is where? Hid with Christ in God. That's double insurance. So for the devil to come and operate in your life, he needs an inroad. Amen? The Bible says he has raised up and we are seated with Christ Jesus far above principalities and powers. He doesn't have authority. But he can gain it. He can gain it. Just like he didn't have authority in Adam's life, but he gained it through mind and body. And that's why we need to do something about our mind and body, to not allow Satan have a foothold in our lives. Are you with me? So now I want Galatians 5:19 to be read again in New Living Translation. Just a simpler one, because we read it in King James, but all those words, I'm sure some of us don't understand. If I say, what's the meaning of revelling? What's the meaning of lasciviousness? You know, so let's read the New Living Translation. And then I will ask you this odd question. And I want to break it down today in a way that you understand it. Okay, yeah, go on.
Yeah, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear.
When you follow the desires. So remember, these are desires of sinful nature. They're in everybody. I know some people, they feel that they are more entitled than others to some things. They just feel that they are more endowed, yeah, to commit some sins. No, everybody has sinful desires. If you can just understand it, maybe it will humble you a bit. Because I find sometimes the reason why people commit sin is that they have a sense of entitlement. Yeah? They feel that they deserve it more than others. Yeah? Some people feel that they deserve to have 10 women. Because they are just fine boy. Are you with me? Everybody has desire. It's in the flesh. So you are no more entitled than anybody. Amen? We should stay humble. Hallelujah. Please read it.
When you follow the desires of your
sinful nature, yes?
The results are very clear.
One.
Sexual immorality.
Let's stop there. I wanted to break that down today a bit so that we understand it. Because there are so many. We treated many last week, actually. But I think the Holy Spirit just wanted to break this down. As you very much know, I'm a teacher. I'm a pastor teacher. My goal is not to tell you things. My goal is to explain. A preacher proclaims it. That's it. And we need preachers. Amen? If without preachers, nobody will get born again. God raises the dead through preaching. Amen? But a teacher what? Explain. So I want you to see it for what it really is, so you understand. It's not a matter of forbidding you. It's a matter of showing you the problem. So my question is this. Anybody sleeping now? I'm looking for them. Is it there? From the youth to the adults. What is, I know Statoni helped us last week. What is sexual immorality? I know you helped us last week. So let's have some definitions. I'm looking for like 5 definitions. Just define it in your own way that makes sense. There you go. So, what is sexual immorality?
It's where you do stuff outside of marriage.
Okay, stuff is okay. You know, when you do stuff outside of marriage. I like that. That's a very conservative answer. Let's go for more liberal answers. Yes, what is sexual immorality?
It's when you do stuff inside of marriage.
No, I don't understand that one.
Okay, so that is you're married,
yes,
but you still have an extramarital affair.
Okay, so it's extra.
Okay.
Yes. But I thank you. We needed that shade of meaning. So don't think because you are married, you have the right to do extra. You don't think you have more experience than other people? Go on.
I think it's when you do stuff in and outside of marriage.
Okay. Oh, now he's complicated it. Eh? Okay, now this stuff you are talking about. Hey, what is this stuff? Now, we're in church, so I don't want explicit language. Let's find simple language that is age appropriate. Yeah? What is sexual immorality?
destruction of a marriage can happen in the mind as well. When you lust for someone.
When you lust for someone,
from your mind, like
that one. Just anybody.
But it could be anybody,
including your wife.
Yeah, I suppose.
So if you lost your wife, is it sexual immorality?
Maybe in church, like, hallelujah, and I'm looking at my wife, hallelujah.
No, I want a question. If you lost for your wife, is it sexual immorality?
I think it has to be in the right environment.
No, I'm asking that question again. If you lost for your wife, is it sexual immorality?
Maybe not.
Thank you. Let's. Who said no? Well, by the way, I believe it's no, but I want some answers. I believe the answer is no, but. Yeah? Yeah. I didn't say if it's a sin. I said, is this sexual immorality? It could be a different type of sin. Yes?
I would say it isn't, because of Paul's admonition to people that they should marry rather than burn in lust.
Yeah. By the way, let me just define lust. Lust, in the simplest meaning, is desire. But there can be desire. There are good desires, and there are what? Wrong desires. If you desire, well, it's a good thing. Even if you are worshipping, you just give thanks for her. Glory to God. Bible says he made them what? Male and what? Female. So for this reason, the man shall leave his parents and become joined to his wife, and they shall become what? One flesh. So God is not ashamed of you listening or having worship and thanking him for your beautiful wife. Amen? Yeah, there's no lust in it. It's desire. But it's desire. It's not lust. Lust is desire gone wrong. So, if I desire my wife in a way that hinders me from doing the will of God, then it's a lust, but it's not a sexual immorality. It's another sin. It's as we a sin of idolatry where I've not put God first. But it's not immorality. I just need to define that so you understand it. Yes? One more answer. What is sexual immorality? And I give you my answer.
Yeah, thinking. Sexual immorality can also be defined as having lust or attraction to the same sex.
Yes, anybody.
So anybody. So
other than your wife.
Yeah, I mean gays, homosexuals, and that's. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. That's I like it. Let me just define it because of time. Sexual immorality is having physical intimacy. So, if you have a difficulty with this word, this is a simple word you can use to describe the same thing. Instead of saying stuff. Physical word, intimacy, or sexual relations with anyone that you are not legally married to. Amen. Let me explain that again. Having physical intimacy or sexual relations with anyone that you are not legally married to is what? Sexual immorality. You see, because the word immorality itself means something that is not in accordance with what is moral. Are you with me? So it also applies to even two people that are planning to marry, but have not yet what?
Married.
Now we explain it because most of the time what we've done in church is just to teach you, this is wrong. You've not taught it like, why is it wrong? So I need to explain that. So you understand the mind of God and how it affects us. And how it can become a stronghold and open door to the devil. So the way I would like to explain is this. It is like driving without a license. Sexual immorality is like what? Driving without a license. Now, I know you don't yet get it, but I'm going to explain it to you. Because I know some people say it doesn't matter if I'm planning to marry and we are Christians, it's okay. No. Why do you need a license, even if you can drive? Now, I want to take some answers. What are the consequences of driving without a license, even if you can drive? Now, I've excluded some answers. So I know that, I'm not saying you can't drive. Hello? You can drive. You are well fortified to drive. Are you feeling me? But you don't have license. What are the consequences of driving without a license? I'm talking about in the physical sense. Basically, car. I'm talking about a car. Driving a car without a license. Despite the fact that you can drive, what are the consequences? Or what are the risks, the dangers?
You can have an accident and kill someone. But
let's assume that you can drive. Now, by the way, that's true. If you didn't couldn't drive. But let's assume now, you find a way to drive, but you don't have a license.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah.
Because we give that answer, some people tell you, but I can't drive. And I can, we don't have accident.
Yeah, you can. Oh, I don't
know. Yes. What are the consequences of driving without a license, despite the fact that you can drive?
But you can go to jail.
Yeah, yes, you can go to jail. Thank you for that one. I like it. Yes?
In England, you get fined, and when you get...
You are under the risk of legal penalty.
And when you get your license, you're going to get, like, marks. Or
yes,
or
legal penalty. Yes?
No insurance.
Ah! You lose your car, you invalidate. You paid for it. Actually, let me just find out what brother wants to say.
Driving license itself, even if you can drive, is what the government gives you to know that you are permitted to drive.
Yes. Now you are now. What it means that when you are driving, knowing that you are permitted to drive, you have confidence.
Lot of confidence.
You have the authority the backing of the law. You have no fear.
That's it.
So basically, you can drive even with more stability, knowing it's not like you see a policeman and you start shaking. Thank you, sir. That's okay. I wanted to cut it, but let me take one or two. No, one more. Yeah. Oh, is there another hand there? No, one more. Okay.
If anything goes wrong and maybe accident and kill someone, legally, that's manslaughter.
Yeah.
If you didn't have a license. Whereas if you had a license, it could still be an accident. But if you don't have a license, it's manslaughter.
Did you know that? So basically, someone who drove without a license, committed and had an accident and someone got hurt, the interpretation of the law is stronger against them because basically they didn't have a license to drive. So the interpretation of that offense is stronger. Okay, let me just stop there for time's sake. I wanted you to understand. So basically, let's just summarize. I think there are two main things. If you summarize it, if you drive without a license, you are in danger of legal penalty. And that can vary. That's a big danger. And you're also in danger of your insurance being invalidated. Now, that's a big danger too. Because when you're in trouble, yeah? No insurance. Despite the fact that you paid for it. Now, let me explain that. I hope I'm teaching you something. Am I teaching you something here? If I'm teaching you something, just wave your hand. So, let me just interpret it. So, sexual immorality is an offense against God, the law, and your body, the car. Hello? God is the law. Your body is what? The vehicle. Yeah? You know, you can't function without your body in this world. Are you still with me? If you engage in sexual relations without being married, legally married, you are at risk of divine penalty. God can punish you. You check it to the Bible. Didn't God send the flood? Like blood, but Tim said, God has the prerogative to punish sin anytime. And ultimately, God will punish all sin. Did you know that? Amen? But thank God. Because the wages of sin is what? But the gift of God is what? He has made a way out. But it includes us repenting or turning away. You can't practice sin and think that you are under no penalty. You can fall into sin, repent. God will mitigate your penalty because the Bible says that whoso covers his sin will not prosper, but he will confess and forsake them. We have what? Mercy. Proverbs 28:13. So that's the advantage of repentance, that even if you sin, you may not enter the full penalty because he will give you mercy because you repented. But God, so if you drive without license or if you engage in sexual relations without being married, you are under the risk of divine penalty. A door can close in your life and you suffer for so long and it may not even be the devil. Secondly, the part that is the devil is the insurance of your body is broken. Satan can operate. Amen? Are you with me? When you are born, you are given a body that has a spiritual integrity. Especially when you are born again. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So that body has integrity. Satan cannot just come and operate and drive it with disease or with causes. But when you invalidate your insurance, the enemy can strike you. I didn't say will, but I said what? Let me just stop there. Time has gone. Let me see what I can do. In another 5-10 minutes, we'll finish. Praise the Lord. If you learn something today, praise the Lord. Wave your hands. Wave your hands. Wave your hands. Hallelujah. I'm a teacher. Say with me. Say, Pastor Ben is a teacher. Glory to God. You see, sexual immorality is like electricity without insulation. It can destroy if you touch it. Amen? Give it the proper insulation. It's a good thing. It can power your washing machine and your TV and everything. That insulation is marriage. And who ordained marriage? When did he ordain it? Do you know? Genesis chapter 2. That's how important it is. After creation, the next thing God did was what? Marriage. So if the devil wants to destroy this world, what's he going to do? Destroy marriage. Attack it. Then he has started destroying the world. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you another thing. Do you know how this world will end? Do you know it will end? I know you don't read Revelations, but this word will end with marriage. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Marriage is very important in the heart of God. You cannot become wiser than God. Amen? You know what the church is called? The bride of Christ. He said, husband, love your wives. How? As your father loved his wife? As your friends loved their wife? As the Hollywood and Nollywood teaches you to love your wife? How should you love your wife? As Christ loved the church. I know the sisters are happy. Hallelujah. Sister Chelly just is grinning from, you know, side to side. But the other side is also true. He said, wife, submit to what? How? How? As the church submits to Christ. Ah, you see that one? If you want to know how to submit, check out how the church is required to submit to Christ. That's the order of God. There's no better solution. Go for million counseling. If you still come, if you're going to make it work, you're going to come back to those two things. Praise the Lord. Let me stop there on marriage. So how can we overcome the flesh? So let's open to Romans 12, 1 to 2. I'm looking to round up in like 8 minutes now. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. I want us to overcome the flesh. Say, I refuse to be under bondage to the flesh. I choose to put my mind and my body under control of the Holy Spirit. That's the key to freedom. That's the key to true liberty. That's the key to true life. Amen? Romans 12, 1 to 2. Let's have someone who has not spoken today to read it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2.
And so, dear brothers and sisters,
please listen. Yeah?
I plead with you to give your bodies to God.
I urge you to do something with your body. You cannot just allow your body to rule your life. Hello? You know it very well, isn't it? Those days when you wake up and you don't feel like going to work, but you still have to drag yourself and go. You are not letting your body control you. No, of course you will. If salary was not involved, you will just snooze. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, when you remember that, I have bills to pay. So you drag the body. Amen. We have to do something with our bodies. So what are we to do with our bodies? Continue. I urge you by the mercy of God. There.
I plead with you to give your bodies to God.
Give your bodies to God.
Because of all he has done for you.
Yes.
Let them be a living and holy sacrifice.
Let your body be what? A living sacrifice. I think I can teach on this for a whole sermon. But the part I feel the Holy Spirit wants me to bring out now is that there is need for sacrifice of your desires. From time to time, you need to put them under control. You don't give in to everything you desire. Yeah? You need to be discerning and say, this desire is not in line with the word of God. Or it's not in line with what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do now. So I am not going to submit to it. Amen?
Amen.
You take responsibility over your body. Say, it's my body.
It's my body.
I can't do with it. I can't do with it as I like. I know I just upturned the philosophy. You can't. If you're an unbeliever, you can do with your body as you like. After all, where are you going? But if you're a believer, you can't. You must present it. Hallelujah. I can't do with my body as I like. There are many things that my body wants to do, but I have said no many times. Amen?
Amen.
And one of the principles about dealing with the body is that you don't say no at the last minute. You say no where? At the first minute. So that you don't go to that place where you cannot say no. Hello? Hello, are you with me? Don't go to that place where you cannot say no. Don't live with that person to whom you cannot say no. Because if you're not going to do like that, if you're saying you're strong, Pastor Ben said, the way I deal with sin is, I don't go there. That's my guarantee. And sometimes I'm doing something, and it looks okay, but once I start seeing signs of danger, what will a wise man do? You run away. He said, you didn't call me again. I said, sorry, I was busy. And I was not lying. I just got busy with something else. Are you with me? Something may not tempt other people, but if it's tempting me, you know what I understood in England is the issue of cold weather is personal. I don't know if you understood it. Cold weather, when it's cold outside and you're feeling cold, it's a personal thing. Don't go and say, everybody's not using jacket. If you wake up and you're feeling especially cold that day, you need what? Jacket and sweater. Because if you run sick, the others will continue to walk about. Do you see what I'm saying? So the same way dealing with body is personal. You have to know your limits and stay within your limits. Glory to God. Please finish it. So it's a sacrificial. You present your body as a sacrifice. Go on.
The kind it will find acceptable.
Yes. So that's how you deal with your body. Yes, continue.
This is truly the way to worship him.
See? Not just singing and clapping. Mm-hmm. Continue.
Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world.
Yes.
But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
By changing the way you think. Let me explain that part. I need to do with mind and we'll finish there. Let me explain this. Many times your willpower may not be enough to stop you from sinning. It depends on what you did to fortify that willpower. Hello? Don't just say, I can say no. You know, there are times you say no and you still do it. Do you know why? Your will was not strong enough. No, there's no man's will that is super strong. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, if your will was super strong, you will not be a believer. You will resist God to the limit. Hallelujah. If an example of the person with the strongest will is Lucifer, the devil. You know that he knows now that he's going to the lake of fire, but he's still working hard at it. Yeah? He has a strong will. So if you have a strong will, you will have problem with your spiritual life. Amen? Because working with God takes you submitting your will to his will. Are you with me? Submitting your plans to his plans. Submitting your desires to his desires. But there's a way God made it. You see, so your will is not enough to say no all the time. Some things you can say no. You know, there's some people that love chocolate. And they struggle to say no to chocolate. But there are some other people, they will look at it, they will just walk away. You think they are strong? It's just their own area of strength. Present them with what? Cake. They cannot resist it. So everybody have different threshold of resistance to different things. We are not the same. Okay? Are you with me? There are some people in your life that you say, they are very strong. They can say no, but they say one weakness. You not found it. They couldn't say no to that. Are you with me? Like I'll tell you my personal experience dealing with sin. The way to fortify your will is to feed your mind with the word of God and stay in fellowship. You will find that the things you are struggling with, they will just fizzle away. Their value will go down because something else has taken its place. When you fill your mind with Hollywood, it's my own personal experience, that's what I'm telling you. You know, while I preach, like, I'm not trying to criticize, I'm telling you me. You know, the people, they are very proud of how many movies they watch in their life. You watch the good, you watch the bad, and you watch what? And there's a movie titled like that. You know what happens when you do those things? The people that did put them together, they don't care about God. They don't even care about morality. You know what has come out in all these Me Too things? What goes on in Hollywood? So all those things you are looking at and you are like, wow, amazing. They are bastardizing your mind with the wrong way of thinking. So when temptation comes, your will is not strong because your mind has not been fortified with the right stuff. Are you with me? That's why it's important for you to be in church. A good church where you can hear the word of God. Not just where they will just tell you, you know, God loves you anyhow. Amen? That's why it's important for you to read your Bible. Recently, I've been listening on audio Bible to the book of Matthew. And I've been a Christian for more than 30 years. I'm reading Matthew and there's something like, as if I've never seen it. Some things are just coming to life. You know, I read the story. Jesus, they said, they came to Jesus and they said, you should pay tax. Tribute. And then Jesus said, okay, Peter, go to the river, catch a fish, open the mouth, and you will see a coin. Have you come across that story before? Today, this morning, I listened to it and I got a revelation. When you just go, God, Peter was a fisherman. All his life, he's learned to catch fish and sell it for money. Huh? But Jesus is showing him that. And now he left the fish. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. So he's left fishing. Jesus is teaching you a big lesson. Your provision is not about the fish. I can give you money inside the mouth of that fish without you selling it. One fish. You know that money got from the fish? You might have had to sell 20 fishes or 30. Hallelujah. You need to feed on the word of God. Someone say, oh, we are living in the bad time. Yes. But the technology that is being used for evil can be used for good. Hallelujah. Like say, Mr. O, we say, he said, listen, rewind. Listen again, rewind. I've done that with Matthew. When you feed your mind with those type of words, some desires will go. They will just go because the word has pushed it away. It's the word that has the power to overcome the flesh. One more thing has the power. Two things, the word. One more thing, the spirit. Galatians 5:16. Let's read that and we'll finish there. Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. Just read the first line and that will be it. You have to, if you want to overcome the flesh ever, you have to feed on the word. Renew your mind with the word and you have to drink of the spirit. You are never going to have the upper hand over the flesh if you are not going to feed on the word and renew your mind with the word. You are never going to have the upper hand if you are not going to drink of the spirit and yield to the spirit. Please read it. Galatians 5:16. We stop there.
So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives.
Let your Holy Spirit what? Guide your life. What is the automatic result?
Then you won't be doing what you're
saying. You will not be. Thank you, sister. God bless you. The goodness of God is upon your life. In Jesus' name. May not look like that sometimes, but God is walking under. God is walking under. And when the seed is, when the root is ready, the tree will come out with good fruit. In Jesus' name. Okay, I'm finishing there. It says walk in the spirit. But you will never walk in the spirit if you are not yielding to the spirit. Now, you will never be able to yield to the spirit if you are not feeding on the word. Huh? As you feed on the word and yield to the spirit, it will become easy to say no to the flesh. That's the key. There's no other key. He said, God, strengthen me. Say, yes, I will strengthen you, but read your Bible. Is it a fair thing? If you like movies, yeah, filter your movies. Don't watch just any movie. Personally, for me, long time ago, I said I'm not going to watch any movie rated than 12. Then above 12. Then I changed it. Personally, I'm just sharing my life. Okay, this is more than 6-7 years ago, 8 years ago. I said I won't watch any movie more than parental guidance. Even now, I'm just on level U. I just want a good story. I watch Christian drama too because I learn a lot. But the world will never teach you the ways of God. The world will teach you its own ways. Before you know it, you will desire it. Are you with me? So you have to be intentional about it. That's what I'm saying. But if you must watch, a 15 movie, how much time do you need to watch a 15 movie? Please, someone help me. How much? How many hours or minutes? Who are the movie watchers there? How many hours or minutes do you need to watch one movie? Agnes, just give me a guess.
2 hours.
2 hours. So this is the poor pastor said. Ben said, you can watch one movie per week, 2 hours. But make sure you feed on your Bible for the same 2 hours per week. Let's rise up and pray. That's how you will win the warfare over the flesh. You can't hide from God. God knows everything that is going on in your life. But God desires to do great things in your life. But He needs your cooperation. Just, you know, begin to take on and say, Father, I refuse to be under bondage to the stronghold of the flesh. I receive grace to renew my mind daily with the word. And it's not just when you're reading your Bible, it can be audio Bible, it can be a Christian TV, it can be, you know, a sermon, it can be, you know, being in fellowship, it can be talking to a godly friend, a spiritual person, you are renewing your mind. It can be gospel music, you are renewing your mind. Receive grace to renew your mind daily. It has to be daily. Because the devil is seeking to corrupt your mind daily. That's why you have to renew your mind daily. That's how you wash your mind clean. Every day you go out, there is a corrupting influence somewhere. It could be at work, it could be on the high street, wherever. But you have to renew your mind, otherwise you will think the way the world thinks. You pursue their words, pursue their fashion, pursue their ambition, pursue their everything. Receive grace to yield to the Spirit. It's possible. It's more about what God will do in your life if you allow Him through His word and His Spirit. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name.